Hey everyone, it's me, David Chen. I'm here with At Joy of Napping, and we just watched the 2020 Disney live-action remake of Mulan. It's available right now on Disney Plus. You can pay $30 to access it on Disney Plus today, or you can wait until December 4th and have access to it for the regular price of your Disney Plus subscription. Kind of a weird hybrid between owning it and not owning it, because you still need Disney Plus if you want to watch Mulan.
Do we own it now?
We own it until we stop subscribing to Disney Plus, and then we don't get to watch it anymore.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Whoa.
It's okay. Weird. I think before we start talking about the movie, we have to acknowledge that there's a lot of controversy around the movie right now. There's a whole boycott Mulan hashtag that's taken on a lot of significance, and it's because the lead actress in the film basically declared her support for Hong Kong police, who in recent days have been taking actions to suppress protesters in Hong Kong, right?
I'm guessing Disney wasn't super thrilled with her for that, because she, I think, came out a bit unsolicited and was like, I don't care who hates me for this, but I'm pro-police in this one.
There's that going on in the background. And so I just want to say before we begin that if your opinion on this movie is you don't want to acknowledge its existence and you feel like we should boycott it, I think that's a completely defensible point of view. But nonetheless...
I mean, how about this? I'm actually way more in the middle. I probably, just to be on the safe side, wouldn't have watched it and wouldn't have paid the $30, to be honest. Uh-huh. And here we are, somewhat amplifying it. And for me, it was morally very murky. The truth is that there are lots of people involved when you make a movie, maybe the 10 best known cast members, director, producer. I don't know that there's a purity test for any other movies that I watch. And certainly I can go back and unfortunately find out things that I wish weren't true about, prominent people in the making of the film. So I felt not great about this, but I was also curious enough. And the other thing that gave me a little bit of courage, I guess, or confidence to potentially amplify this movie, which, I mean, it's a Disney release. It was plenty amplified already, but we should still put our efforts where our, values are, is that it seems like people don't like this movie very much based on the early reviews. Uh-huh. So I was like, oh, well, there's a really solid chance we're going to trash it. So maybe that's actually doing the Lord's work there. So anyway.
Okay. So acknowledging all that, acknowledging that there's a hashtag boycott Mulan thing happening right now, in steps Mulan, live action remake. Very, very different from the original animated film. It's not a musical, right? There's no songs in this movie. There's no Eddie Murphy Mushu dragon in
this
one.
Thank God.
And instead, it's just kind of a straight up kind of action war epic. So what did you think of the film?
So I watched it a little bit because it was there, but I definitely expected something closer to, and I'm not paying very close attention to TV and film news, to be frank, but I expected it to hew closer to the animated original, because that's what, in fact, I didn't know that there weren't going to be songs in it.
Mm.
So boy, was I in for a surprise, because this thing is not for children. I don't know what its rating is. What would you guess? PG-13?
Yeah, I think it's PG-13.
It really could have had a few more things in it that could have taken it to R.
Yeah, I mean, it arguably could be R, the way it
is
right now.
So I think that the original, part of the reason Disney even made a movie that was animated is that it's about a young person. So I think in the legend, she's 12 or 13, who, disguises herself as a man and, joins the emperor's army. And they therefore, picked a sort of young, plucky preteen protagonist. And that is not what this movie is. This movie, this woman is definitely post-pubescent.
Mm-hmm.
She murders about 100 people on screen, directly and indirectly. She probably murders like another 1,000. She is super impressive at what she does, but it is because she is so just ruthless. And she's so laser focused. And so I actually feel like she has no childlike qualities at all. In fact, her actually being a child is shown in a sort of kind of flashbacky kind of thing at the beginning.
Yeah.
When things are relatively innocent. And she basically is a single-minded, ruthless hunter at that point as well. And yeah, so I don't know why Disney made this movie or who they made it for.
Well, first of all, I think on one level, we should acknowledge that the original animated Mulan was like one of the most successful animated films of all time. So it made over $300 million. It obviously was very popular and like beloved by like myself and like people I knew when I was growing up. And so on some level, they're just kind of plumbing the IP mines, right? Like they're like going back to like, hey, what made a lot of money that we could still make more money out of? And like Mulan is one of those things.
Right. But all the other movies were so family friendly, like Cinderella and Beauty and the Beast and Lion King. You know, like this one is not actually in what I think of as Disney's sweet spot in general. This has more killing than an Avengers movie.
It's yeah, and some of the killings are like quite graphic too. Yeah. I would say, yeah, it's interesting.
They're graphic, but you know, you may not see the sword tip go in, but you know what happened, and it wasn't pleasant.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think they tried to like, to the extent that they could, they tried to do honor to the original story.
I think that's right.
And by original story, I don't mean the original story. I just mean the animated film, right? It hews pretty closely to that, you know?
Yeah.
With some major departures, but like...
I just think in the animated version, she would have like arrested the bad guy or something instead of like killing
people.
No,
I believe she kills the bad guy in the original.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So, but I agree.
The one with Eddie Murphy as the tiny talking dragon on her shoulder.
That's
okay,
right.
Okay.
So yeah, but at the same time, you definitely feel the deaths a little bit more in this one just because it's live action people, right?
Well, and they also make the stakes, they tell the story in such a way that you actually believe that she is in mortal danger and that her friends who you've come to like are in mortal danger.
Yeah.
And so that is definitely, there was a scene that reminded me of, there were many scenes that reminded me of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so,
and okay. So, I mean,
battle scenes from Game of Thrones.
I'll just say that like overall, I thought from a visual spectacle perspective, this movie really delivers. It is a gorgeous movie. Like the vistas they chose to shoot at are amazing. Like there are many sequences that have like lots of horses and like hundreds of people dressed in like armor and, you know, attacking each other. And it's just like, wow, it is incredible the amount of work that must have gone into this, and it all looks amazing. And I was actually very sad that I couldn't see this in a movie theater because this is where it was originally supposed to be seen. Weeks before this movie was supposed to come out in theaters, you know, was when
the pandemic started to hit.
Yeah. And so that's very sad. So I just think like, if you are looking for like an action spectacle that kind of delivers the visual goods, I do think this movie achieves that.
I agree.
Yeah.
I had no idea that was coming. I even saw the trailer and I didn't think that was coming.
That
it was going to be like a war movie. I mean, that's a little strong, but that it was going to be an epic, that it was going to be filled with.
Yeah, I'd say like a good hour of this movie is just like war action scenes, basically.
Yeah, and the other thing I didn't see coming is that it would be very influenced by Chinese cinema.
Yeah.
In terms of the style.
Yeah. You mean like the style of fighting and stuff?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly.
So
like
there's
wuxia
like
movies and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
The leaping that's like not physically possible, but like, you know, is so incredibly beautiful. I think it's sort of inspired by Chinese opera. You know, like it's all that stuff was great.
Yeah.
And then everything else about it, I thought was mixed to terrible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
what are those things that you're thinking of right now?
Firstly, Mulan as a character is just a big nothing burger.
There's nothing there. Yeah.
She's a super-powered nothing burger. And I was...
There's so little there. Sorry, go ahead.
There's just so little characterization of her one way or the other. I can't name you one characteristic about her, despite the fact that people keep using adjectives to describe each other and themselves mm-hmm. as like brave and loyal. But like, those are real blandishments for like an army, for someone who's in an army. So I just feel like, even though there's all this like character establishment of her growing up in her village, I literally can't tell anything about her except that she's very gifted.
She's like plucky, you know, basically is kind of what you get the sense of. I mean, in many ways, she's modeled after a lot of the other kind of Disney princess characters, right? Which is like, she is going to put herself out there even when like societal norms don't demand that she does that. And, you know, she's going to do the right thing. And so, but I think that there's just very little there. There's so little there for her as a character that they actually had to invent an entire concept for this movie. It's basically the Mulan equivalent of midichlorians. She has to master this thing called chi, and it's like, it's a very odd appropriation of the actual concept of chi. Like, that's not how chi works in real life. Like, that's not how people talk about it. Anyway, the idea behind the movie is like she has this magical power, chi, and the whole movie is about her like learning that she needs to like let it go, like another Disney princess, you know, like to like let her chi flow and become the warrior
Which
she's meant
I
to be.
I think primarily involves not pretending to be a man anymore. I mean, it's very confusing. Who has chi and why,
right,
and what it does for you and what are the limits. And
it's like the force, though. It's like the force. I mean, there's literally a scene where I think someone says like, it's all around, you know.
It's unclear, yeah, like with the force, like if everyone has it and they just like need to stop pretending themselves and lying.
Yeah.
Themselves. I don't know. So anyway, I think Mulan is a bit underwritten as a person.
Yeah.
To the extent she is written, she's written like these like Confucian stereotypes, which I found very painful.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, okay, I'll tell a story this way. Traits that are important aren't necessarily things you voice over because they're important to you, right? Like, so, but if it's important to your whole culture, you wouldn't think to call them out. So for instance, I lived in France for 3 months. When I left America to go to France, I suddenly realized like, oh, I cannot get a 20-ounce cup of coffee. That's just not a thing in this country. I could maybe find a Starbucks and pay like €8 for one. But what I really, really missed was very large cups of coffee. And it's not like I would have been sitting at home, never having gone to France, and saying, I am American. I love large cups of coffee. Because to me, this is the size of a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of people like labeling things like, I am going to bring honor to my family, you know, which you would just never say out loud because you just care about having honor for your family. Like, it's actually mostly about avoiding shame, which is another thing that they kind of touch on. But it's done in such a ham-fisted way that it's very clear that the audience is people who have never thought deeply about this culture at all.
Yeah, yeah. It is done in a very hand-holdy way, very clunky way.
Very outsider-ish.
Very clunky, very like obvious, like where it's just stating the themes of the movie straight out for you, which is, you know, not great from a storytelling perspective.
So the character of Mulan was challenging for me, and to be honest, it's hard for me to peel it apart from the actress playing Mulan and the job she did. I honestly can't tell how she did.
I think that her range is not great. What she does bring to the role is an awesome physicality to
Absolutely.
It. Like from a physical performance, she's amazing. Like it, and she's so graceful with all of her movements. And it's when you watch her move and fight people, it's like beautiful. But in terms of like the emoting, there's just A, the script doesn't demand that much, and B, what's there, there's just not that much range that she delivers, unfortunately.
It just really made me miss Michelle Yeoh.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle Yeoh can do more with like a blink of her eye that like makes you really feel like something else is going on behind there, whereas Mulan just seems sort of like
I think that's
like a neutral and passive observer of her own like superpowers.
Right. It's a great like Michelle Yeoh is like there's just you see like something behind the eyes. It's like, you know, there's like depth there, and like not so much with the main actress in this movie, unfortunately.
I think this whole discussion that we were starting to have about how they talked about the culture is like my second major issue with the film,
mm-hmm.
which is like, I don't know I was sitting there thinking it was so jarring to see all these people speaking English with different Chinese accents from different parts of China who would definitely not be related to each other. Like some of them are Cantonese and some of them are from mainland. And I think at least one is like actually Asian American or Chinese American. So then it's kind of like, what if we made a period piece about 1600s Britain, but then we had people who were white, but did it all in Chinese, but different levels of accent of Chinese because they're from all over the world,
right.
You know, and then we shipped it to China. Like, that's basically what this is.
Yeah.
And
it's very disorienting that, like, the Mulan's parents and then Mulan herself, like, have different...
Three different accents,
yeah.
And it just made me wonder, like, you know, they're reading things in Chinese, like Chinese characters, but then they're speaking English. And it just made me wish the whole thing was in Chinese.
If it was, though, it never would have been made, obviously, because like, they wanted to make it for an American audience. And American audiences in general don't like reading subtitles.
I get it. But it's again, like, who is this movie for? I thought it was for like 10-year-old girls who wanted to like be a warrior princess. But like, it's far too violent for them. For whatever reason, the way they chose to film it just ripped me out of like even believing that this place was real. Which brings me to my third and final like... It's such a mixed blessing, what I'm about to say. I thought that my main thing I would get out of this is like a representation matters. Yeah. I get to see someone who looks like me, or a variety of people who look like me doing, you know, kick-ass things, being moms and sisters and rice threshers and whatever, you know. And as it turns out, none of that's true because the way they depict Chinese culture and history is so all over the place. Like, first of all, I think that literally they're depicting things that are like 1,000 years apart, you know, like that cannot coexist in the same time frame. The costuming and the attention to detail and the set design is so gorgeous, like probably the most gorgeous things I have ever seen. But they are all from different places and like they... the amount... I think in order to make it really beautiful and lively... They depict a level of wealth that is just completely impossible. It's like every single village, no matter how crappy and you're just like a random anonymous family, has stuff that would come like from the Imperial Museum. You know, like it's just...
So I think you're talking about like Mulan's village, right? It is depicted as though it's in the middle of nowhere and like everyone there would be...
Probably pretty poor, but they all have like beautifully colored clothing and they have access to like really exquisite... what look like antiquities and from different time periods. And it's so painful to me that it's basically like somebody walked into some museum in Beijing and was like, we'll take one of each, you know, and we'll make that, you know, but it isn't on the, but we don't get to see in the West, like incredibly beautiful depictions with tons of CG of what the entire like Forbidden City would have looked like. So
I think what you're saying is a mixed bag, right?
It's very mixed for me because I really appreciate, I think many people don't understand the level of intricacy and artistry that is in many of our antiquities. I say that are because I'm Chinese American, but I didn't want it this way.
Not like this.
I don't hate it, but I really don't love it. So
there was a piece at Polygon.com by Petrana Radulovic, called the controversial cut that solidified Mulan as an Asian American film. And this piece is about how in the original Mulan, the animated film, there is a scene where Mulan cuts her hair off before she goes off to battle. And before she joins the army, I should say. And the idea is that like this scene didn't do very well in China. People like laughed at the scene because everyone knows that back then, men had their hair super long, right? And
it's my large cup of coffee.
But the point that this article makes that I thought was really interesting is that this scene solidifies Mulan as like a fundamentally an Asian American perspective at best, right? I mean, it's kind of a white perspective, but it's also like, if you're an Asian American watching it, you understand what it's saying, which is that like her cutting her off is shorthand for like her appearing as a man. And that ultimately, if you are Asian American, you have like all these different perspectives in you. You have like the perspective of your parents and the perspective of your ancestors, and then your own perspective that you've developed like living in America and like being inculcated with American values. And ultimately, like the piece is ultimately like appreciative of like Mulan because it is like an Asian American. It has all these like Eddie Murphy's in the movie as Dragon, and like it's like okay. On the one hand, it's kind of like a bastardization of Chinese culture, but it's like we are kind of ourselves always in the process of synthesizing like Chinese culture and American culture anyway, and it's like this might as well be an artifact of that. And I feel like what you're saying about this movie, this new Mulan, is kind of similar. It's kind of like, oh, hey, like all these different Asian people, like some people who have been in America for like decades, and then some people who aren't Americans at all, and like we'll just make them part of the same family, you know, like it's just like, it's kind of like this mishmash of like here's a bunch of like Asian influences and Asian actors from different walks of life, and they're just throwing them all into this movie, and
they
like
they are all at least Chinese.
Yes, but it's like doesn't quite work, but at the same time it's an interesting effort, and it's like it's kind of like, oh, you know, Asian Americans get like one movie a year, and so we might as well like put it all in there. And on the one hand, it's, you know, it's awesome to see people like, Tai Ma and, you know, all these amazing, Donnie Yen, such a freaking badass, you know,
Gong Li, seeing
all these people in this movie. It's just amazing. It's awesome to see these people like in this movie that looks amazing. It's an action epic. It's great. And then on the other hand, it's kind of like, it really just feels like they just threw everything in there without like much sense of like how it would all.
I hate it, to be honest.
Hate the movie or?
I hate this part of it. Like, I want a movie with Donnie Yen and Gong Li where it's not like attempting to sum up all the good highlight bits of Chinese culture and mash it together into one thing. You know, like, why can't I just have an amazing action epic with these people in it? You know, like, I would prefer if they spoke their native language as well. But like, it actually pains me because like the original, quote unquote, original animated Mulan, at least it was nowhere near being, quote unquote, authentic. Mm-hmm, and what I find so
frustrating, it's almost like the uncanny valley of like,
is like they're trying so hard
to
like actually pay homage to the culture, but in my personal opinion, in a way that's like actually quite alienating. Like if you're going to be specific, be specific. I actually wished, I was watching it thinking, what made Black Panther work, you know, despite it being in a fictionalized African country? And by the way, not everybody in Africa loves like Black Panther, particularly like some of the accents seem misplaced and whatever, but like it was Afrofuturist, and I almost wished, like every time it got more fantastical, the better I thought it was. And so
you mean every time Mulan got more fantastical? Because there are a lot of fantastical elements in this film. But I think what you're saying is basically it's Uncanny Valley. It like comes close to being an authentic representation, but never really achieves it.
I don't actually think it comes that close. So I wouldn't use the Uncanny Valley.
So, but you just wish it went in like a whole different direction.
I wish, or that it acknowledged that it's more of a blender. But I actually think it strikes me as quite defensive, you know? Like it's not coming from a place of, oh my gosh, I just love China's history so much that this is the story I want to tell, and it comes from this thread and this thread and this thread being put together. It's like, oh, I don't want to be accused of like sloppiness, so let me hire like 300, you know, textile historians to like make these exceptional costumes and whatever, you know. And it's, again, not like that craft isn't beautiful, but it feels like it's in service of something that is ultimately so laborious in the way that it says, you know, me Chinese, me care about family. Like, that's literally how it comes across to me.
Yeah.
Me Chinese, me woman, don't know how to be both.
Is that like a racist accent or is that like a cave person accent?
It's how, yeah, okay. I mean, maybe it's just problematic what I just did.
So anyway, all right, let's talk about some of the specific moments in the movie that
we
really
appreciate.
Are we
going to get into spoilers?
Yeah, so let's get into spoilers. So consider spoilers starting right now for the new live-action remake of Mulan. So the stuff with Gong Li, or Li Gong, Gong is her family name, was really interesting, I thought.
Totally.
She's total badass in this movie.
She's the most interesting thing in the movie.
Most interesting character in the movie, just the look, the execution of it, her when she's flipping dudes around with the cloth and everything like that.
Every time she came on screen, you were like, oh, this is so cool.
I mean, it just the way that that character was conceived and executed was really, really impressive. So I loved that character. I wish there had been more there because, like, the ending, there's this, like, very crucial scene where that character sacrifices her life for Mulan's life. And I mean, this is the problem with the movie ultimately, is like none of the major character beats really worked for me. There are several major decisions that characters make that you really need to believe that they're going to be willing to make. That's one, which is like Gong Li sacrificing herself, right?
I mean, I quote unquote believe it in that the groundwork was laid, but the groundwork is very, very shoddy and very, like, sort of roughly hewn.
Another one is Donnie Yen's character accepting Mulan after she's, like, confessed her the fact that she's a woman. And I just don't, but like, I don't believe the character as portrayed in this film would ever accept it. It just is like, you know, and
they've also set up society to be so rigid that there's no space for this. So,
and in fact, in real life, like, it's not this definitely did not play out like this in real life, insofar as Mulan, like, the myth of Mulan is like she actually didn't reveal that she was a woman until, like, far after, you know, she had been done fighting. And so, the idea that, like, she would reveal and everyone would be like, okay, we're gonna follow her. I understand it's, like, a very, like, you know, American tropey kind of moment where it's like, we do see the honor in you despite the fact that you lied to us. And I get it. I get what they're trying to do. But it just, like, it rang so false to me.
Well, again, I'm not sure what century or even millennium this story is set in. I'm guessing...
I believe the original, like, song or whatever was in the 7th century. So
I think it's more like the 4th century.
Yeah, so
I mean, it's like
over
early,
a millennia ago. Yeah.
Far before, like 1,000 years before there was a Forbidden City in Beijing, you know, and very long before the Huns as well. Whatever. I mean, whatever. But I think that I don't know what gender roles were like back then or how, you know, but it just is set up in the film that there's zero room for negotiation.
Yeah, like the penalty is death, basically.
And therefore, you know, Donnie Yen doesn't, like, secretly telegraph that he's a really flexible dude if their battlefield results are good or, you know, whatever. So I agree, it was not believable. And if anything, I don't think they would have necessarily killed her, you know, but, like, I don't know. It's just... Yeah.
What is interesting about this movie, though, that I think is, like, it ultimately does try to propagate very Chinese values, I think, right? The two biggest ones being loyalty to one's, I guess, country and loyalty to one's family. It is decidedly not...
I am extremely resistant to the first characterization. In the film.
Well, there's this moment in the movie where, you know, Mulan says to, you know, the witch character, she's like, I'm going to fight for my country. I'm not going to, like, betray my country, you know, and that's what that is meant to communicate. I don't know that it does a great job of it, but I think that's what that's intended to do. And then what is notable is that, you know, there's this very collectivist idea in China, right? That, like, it's all about, like, the collective and not about the individual. And I do think that carries through in this film where Mulan, yes, she does, like, disobey her parents by, like, pressing off and, like, fighting the war on behalf of her father. But at the end of the day, she, like, refuses to accept glory for it and, like, goes back home. Like, the one of the final scenes is her, like, going back home and, like, apologizing to her father and, like, trying to get back into the family. That's not how this would play out in a conventionally American film, right? That it would be like the guy is like, yeah, I'm going rogue and, like, everything, you know, and, oh, I won, I showed you that, like, I did it, you know. So
anyway. I think that's fair, that second point about family, and that when she goes home, she doesn't say, mom and dad, hey, I saved the world.
I saved your ass. Like,
she's like, hey,
look at me.
I kind of stole your sword. I stole your armor. I lost your armor. I'm really sorry. Like, it's all the things that she, like, the ways that she failed them. She lists none of the positives. And I turn to Dave and I'm like, this is the first part that rings true to, like, what it's like to grow up Chinese. And that, to me, was more of a show than a tell. But everything else is a tell. Mm. And I think it sucks. Because it there are so many ways in which I, as a person who grew up in America but have, like, a, you know, Chinese family, it's in the way that we, like, are anticipating each other's, like, little needs and motions, you know? Like, if you sort of see that I'm struggling to get the trash out, like, you'll hold the door for me. You know, like, it's almost like this quiet coordination that makes us a collective. And I just so wished they had shown any of that, because that actually, to me, is, like, very comforting. And in my real lived experience, it's quite beautiful to be that thought for all the time. And then you think for others as well. And, you know, I know it's completely un-American, but, like, I guess the closest is maybe being part of a team. But it's not like being part of a team. It's like being part of a family, which is, like, you're all, like, connected to each other. And for better or for worse, you know, like, I do think of myself as part of a larger unit, a larger group, and I really don't think of my individual identity as much. And so it's not to say that that thematically isn't real, you know, that Confucian idea of being part of something bigger.
But just the execution was very clunky.
I found
clunky.
The execution quite ham-fisted, as we said before. And then the second thing is this idea of country. It's not about country. Like, at one point, the emperor says citizens, and I'm like, that's a Roman concept. Like, I don't really even know what that's doing in this film. You know, it's probably something closer to, like, a feudalism, like, subjects kind of thing. And you don't do it for your country per se, you sort of do it for your people.
Sure.
And, you know, I make this distinction because I think it's quite political at present who is in the Chinese people versus who is in the Chinese country. And, like, we are from Taiwan, and that's, like, a whole matter of debate. You know, we're Taiwan's 97% Han Chinese, but it's not like everyone there thinks that they're part of Taiwan, but China thinks they are. And so I think there's, like, I just want to tread carefully around that specific
point. Fair point. But I think you agree that the idea of, like, the collective being more important than the individual is definitely something that's reflected in that subplot, right, of her.
Oh, yeah. And the country piece is, like, stated explicitly, but it's stated again in terms that I think are quite Western.
Yeah.
And I said, after hearing some of that dialogue, I said to you that this is what it's like when the colonizers write your stories. Not that we were actually ever colonized. In fact, China tends to be the colonizer themselves. But
a couple of other random points to mention about the movie that I thought were pretty cool.
I did not recognize Jet Li in this movie, which is astounding because, I mean, he's Jet Li.
Yeah.
And he gets a fair bit of screen time.
It was great to see Jason Scott Lee in this movie. Obviously, huge fan of his work. And also, Yosin An.
Oh, he was quite good.
In this movie, plays Hong Hui. And it's just awesome to see, like, a buff, sexy Asian American man on screen, you know? Always going to vote for that in my movies.
There was an exciting cameo. Should we give it away?
Yeah, well, we're already in spoilers. But yeah, Ming-Na introduced the new Mulan, and it was a wonderful kind of passing of the torch from old to new.
Despite all that I have crapped on this film, there were several times where I felt a genuine thrill, and seeing Ming-Na Wen was one of them.
Yeah, it was great. Any closing thoughts on Mulan? I will say that the ending scene with the emperor, when the emperor is, like, all tied up and he's like, rise like a phoenix. I'm just like, this is awful. Like, this.
Everything with the phoenix was terrible.
Everything with the phoenix was awful. Everything with the emperor at the end was, like, and it's on the script level. Like, I thought Jet Li as the emperor did a great job of, like, being, like, a badass guy. But, like, those words, they shouldn't have forced him to say those words, is what I'm saying.
I literally think it would have been better as a costume action something, and, like, that we just skipped everything that felt like levity or backstory or whatever, because it wasn't helpful. It didn't make me like it. And in fact, it reminded me, as I said, in many instances of Game of Thrones, and I think anybody who's watched Game of Thrones and then watches this will see the many parallels. But one of the things that made me reflect on quite a lot is how Arya Stark is developed from like the first scene, maybe, or like maybe it's the second scene, but like she's at Winterfell and she like shoots an, arrow over Bran's shoulder, and she like is mischievous, and she's just like in a handful of minutes you can tell she's very competitive, not a lady, quote unquote. Like all of this inner sense of who she is that then makes you on her side and makes you root for her for seven seasons after that. None of that was here. And those are literally the same characteristics I was hoping for. Yeah. Because, you know, then, you know, you see from the competitiveness how that ties to her diligence. You know, you see for Arya Stark. And instead, this was like a person who I didn't know what their personality traits were other than sort of to be a generic Chinese vessel for family and loyalty.
And, you know, in reflecting on it, it's like, yeah, a lot of people have been saying that this movie is inferior to the original animated film. And I think that's a huge part of it is Ming-Na Wen in the original had someone to play, had multiple people to play up. You get a much better sense of who that person is in that one. I mean, we watched a few scenes from the original after we saw the new one, and she just talks a lot more. She has more dialogue. She's like reflecting out loud. She has like Eddie Murphy to play off of in the movie, you know, and you just get none of that in this film, unfortunately. And that's ultimately like what the film hangs on. It is called Mulan. That is the title of the movie. So
don't you think this film would have been better if it were Arya Stark basically as the protagonist?
Yeah, I mean, well, if
like,
it was...
Like, just watch Arya Stark just murder people for, like, a whole hour and a half.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say I would complain about that, so... Anyway, those are our thoughts on Mulan. Overall, a mixed bag, but...
And it's so... There are so many things from this that I will take away with, like, real... You know, there's an outfit the emperor wears at one point that has all these like pleats in the collar that like I will never not see that. Like it's incredible.
Yeah, like on a visual perspective, it's so good. And there's like great moments. Like I love the use of slow motion in the movie too, right? There's these moments when like Mulan's like dodging arrows and it's just like, oh, this
like,
looks so cool.
Like moments I would actually go back and rewatch. Yeah. They're that thrilling. And yet I'd say 70% of it in the end I could live without.
Yeah. Movie as a whole. Not great. It doesn't, unfortunately, all come together. Like, all the disparate elements don't come together to be like, this is an unforgettable epic story. And that's unfortunate, because it would be great if it was. It's also just sad that this is a movie that, like, you know, would have been a movie, I mean, were it not for the controversy, which is extremely real and very valid and should be, like, taken into account, like, I would have, in theory, in hypothesis, I would love to see a movie on the big screen, action epic, huge opening, more Asian-American representation and Asian representation. But for a massive, massive variety of reasons, it was not to be in this case. So that's also sad to me. But people get a chance to enjoy it at home if they want, and hopefully you get something out of it.
I think I could summarize this movie by saying it's like good in some ways and bad in some ways. But the main takeaway for me is this movie is not for who you think it's for. It's definitely not for children, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't let a young child watch this. Mm-hmm. It's actually for adults, and I, by definition, because that's who's left. And I actually, when I think about the summer audience, this really should have been for people who wanted to see an action epic on the big screen.
Yeah.
And if that is you, maybe Mulan on Disney Plus wasn't top of mind for you, but I actually think it's pretty satisfying. If you enjoyed like the Battle of the Bastards or whatever else from Game of Thrones, this is probably more for you than someone who watched Cinderella live action or The Lion King live action. And so that was just such a shock to me.
Yeah, I would say this is the best of the Disney remakes so far, in the sense that it like adds new things to it. Like fundamentally transforming Mulan into a live action movie added more than transforming Lion King into whatever the hell Lion King was. Not live action, not animated. It is animated, but it's like they wanted to make it so that it looked live action. Yeah, on that front, the progression of Disney remakes, in my opinion, continues to go up very, very, very slowly in quality. So there's that as well. Anyway, this is at Joy of Napping, and I'm David Chen.